Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Brainstorm Brewery. We're here at episode number 45. Wait. 84?
45, guys.
So close.
From the past.
So close, yet so far. It's me, Marcel MTG. I am the head host here, even though I'm the least popular, followed by Jason E. Alt.
What am I, the second least popular? Are we just basing this off Twitter followers? Or how many death threats you've gotten? Because if it's death threats, I'm number one.
That's a good metric right there.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Jason E. Alt. You can find my articles on Quiet Speculation, Gathering Magic, MTG Price, and Brainstorm Brewery, I guess. You can send your death threats to altjason17 at gmail.
Then we got next in line, we got the talent of the cast, Ryan Bouchard.
Yeah, you can find me on Gathering Magic as well. Please don't send me death threats. You can find me on Brainstorm Brewery very occasionally and on this podcast.
And then we get to our all-time favorite, Mr. Former Folk himself, Corbin Hostler.
Yeah, you guys can find me writing for Quiet Speculation, Brainstorm Brewery, Wizards Norman, and we're going to have more than four Merfolk this time. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling good. We got a good one already.
Yes, indeed. And you can find me on Monitor Pride with my brother Tyrone. We do the Smooth Brothers podcast. We just recorded an episode today in the morning. And if you want a little background, I did Imp's Prison with Angelo. That's a podcast he's got out there.
Great. Now I got to do all kinds of internet research to make the show notes. I appreciate you making my life harder. Jeez, Marcel, you podcast like I write articles.
You say that all the time. I got to do something, you know? I got to be relevant. If not, I'm just going to fade into
obscurity.
There you go. Thank you for finishing my sentence.
That's the word you were looking for, right?
I was thinking of antiquity, but that was the magic card.
Fade into antiquity would be much better. Because then when I put it in the show notes, it would show up with the card auto tag. I do that every week in my QS article. I try to bury one card name, and like the editor always doesn't tag it. I wish he would.
Ah, so that's
really exciting story.
Actually, I like that. That's those little Easter eggs that people got to find.
So now shut up, Corbin. It was a good story.
Good Lord. Jason's angry.
Don't get the good story me, motherfucker. That's what I do to you. Know your role.
Jason sounds kind of upset. Speaking of shut up, Corbin, that was the highest voted comment on the Reddit AMA I did.
You did an AMA? What do you mean?
I didn't ask me anything on Reddit. Because I woke up early this morning on accident, kind of, and was like, well, what am I going to do with my day? I guess I'll do this thing on Reddit. And it was pretty cool. I've never done it before. I'm not very good at Reddit, but lots of people asked questions. It was a good time. And the top voted comment was, shut up, Corbin.
For the first hour, my buddy Joey D is kind of like, hey, what do you think is like the worst attitude to have in, you know, finance and blah, blah, blah. And it was a pretty insightful comment. And that was the top for an hour. And then someone goes, shut up, Corbin. And like, just blew him out of the water. Sorry, Joey D. Be funnier next time.
So how'd it work? I mean, just tell me. I never experienced an AMA on either side of the spectrum. So how does it play it out?
Sure. So like, I've thought about doing it before. And I know, I think Ryan's done one before. Other people have done one, but I was like really scared of, you know, failing and getting four questions and then nothing else and feeling like, I just, you know, wasted my time and wasted other people's time. But, you know, I woke up today and I woke up early and I didn't really have anything to do. And I was like, you know what? This counterfeit thing's going on. A lot of people are talking about it. It seems like a good time. So I just, you know, put it out there on Twitter. Hey, I'm going to do this. And I made it on Reddit and I went away for a few minutes, came back, refreshed the page, not really expecting anything, wanting to see if I got downvoted. And there were like four or five questions already. And then I sat down, started answering them, and I didn't move for 3 hours because they just kept coming in. So a lot of people were asking about the fakes, the counterfeiting, which we'll get to later tonight. So it was a pretty cool experience. I mean, you just sit down and you just read over all the questions and you just type a lot. So
So how much did this feed into your megalomania?
Very, very little. Like I said, I didn't think anybody was gonna, the reason I hadn't done it before is because I was scared that I try to do it and then nobody asks anything and then I feel like a failure. So, I mean, it was cool to that people liked it and I'm glad they did, but
he wasn't well versed in like Reddit memes. So he wasn't, prepared for the variation on the, would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or 1 horse-sized duck?
Oh, that's a thing.
So yeah, that's what you ask in every IM. So
I thought that guy was
he asked it like a would you fight 94 Splinter Fright sized or something? I forget what it was.
It was Splinter Fright sized ducks or 1 duck sized Splinter Fright.
Well, clearly 94 Splinter Frights don't add up to much financially, so I would probably go with the duck.
Well, I said that. Well, somebody had an even better comment. They said that if you choose to fight 94 of them, that last Splinter Fright's going to be huge. Because if you killed the previous 93, that dude is giant.
That's a good answer, actually.
Right? Anyways, I didn't know that was like a Reddit meme. That's true. I said I would rather fight all the small ones because in Super Smash Bros., it's much easier to kill, 100 mini Yoshis than it is to kill 1 like giant metal Yoshi.
But when do the Splinter Frights, do they all come out at the same time? Cause if they all enter the battlefield at the same time, they're worthless.
They wait patiently to attack you 1-on-1.
Ah, okay.
No, it's just Super Smash Brothers style. You get 3 at a time. You kick them off and a couple more jump down. That's gotta be how it works. Why is that a meme? Tell me that. Why is that a thing on Reddit?
I don't know, like.
Just learned that now.
I could do a whole podcast about like famous IMAs. It's stuff that's funny and gets voted to the top, people will ask in the next one, and sometimes it catches on. Like, everybody gets asked about a variation on Rampart, because when Woody Harrelson famously melted down during his, he just wanted to talk about the movie he was promoting, and people wanted him to talk about the 17-year-old girl he had sex with after her prom. So that didn't go well. So it's just a thing because it is.
I didn't know there was such a thing as a famous AMA. So I'm learning all about Reddit. All right, spat at it.
Let's talk about some actual Magic finance, because I'm sure that's what people are tuning into this podcast to listen for. So how about we move into the picks of the week?
Pick of the week! Time for the pick of the week!
Picks of the week.
Let's go alphabetically. Mine starts with A. Great.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to give a shout out to Steve Wolf, who made the awesome pick of the week kicker, bumper music. So another shout out to him. Keep doing what you're doing. Send us in some more stuff if you can. So Jason, now you got permission. You can start now.
Oh, that rules. Cause whenever Corbin says he's going first, he gets shot the fuck down. All right. Mine starts with A, and it is a card called Advent of the Worm. Even if this card does nothing, there is going to be a lot of short-term hype around this card because we're getting the green white temple. Temple of Plenty. So people are already thinking green-white. Trostani is a card that people are looking at. I think I want to say Marcel said Trostani is 75 cents online or something like that last week.
$3.
During the pick of the week. So how much? $3?
Yeah, it just jumped to 330, so it's not doing a whole lot.
I think there's going to be hype around it.
I do too.
They gave us, I don't want to get too much into spoilers, but I will say that there is a card that is going to make tokens. I don't know how good it is, but we'll get to it when we get to spoilers. So tokens could be a thing. Maybe Sion of Itugazi gets there finally. I'm not sure. But there is a lot of hype surrounding Advent of the Worm. I sold 12 copies over the weekend and pulled the rest down. Anything that sells that fast, I should probably reevaluate. So I'm sitting on a lot of Advents, because I bought these at like $1.52 or something. Like, I got them real cheap, and I've been sitting on them forever. And they're not much more than like $1.50 right now, so I think these could go up. I would sell out at 5, no matter what. I don't think they can go to 10. I'm gonna sell out at 5. Even Dragon's Maze not being opened all that much, it's a rare. I think it might have been in like a 2 of an event deck or something ridiculous like that. I can't verify that, even though I have the internet right now. I'll look that up. But I think you sell it at $5. So, Advent of the Worm, buy cheap now. Not for me, I took mine down, and sell around 5.
That makes sense.
So I assume you also like, because I know we've talked about green white before, do you like Trostani too? I mean, Trostani gives you 4 symbols to your, if you have Trostani and a green white god.
If there's a good demigod, Trastani gives you four symbols, like, Trastani's just gonna do a lot of work. I think it's too slow right now, but if decks get mid-rangier, maybe it won't be too slow.
Yeah.
I know our buddy Ryan Archer, Brainstorm Brewery writer, good friend of the cast, doesn't play Trastani main deck, but he plays it in the board for like red decks and stuff like that. I think this may be main deckable soon. It just, Ryan can attest to it in that stupid Seance deck. Trastani did so much work. Like, that might be a second pick of the week. Why not?
Yeah,
like,
I think we should spend more time talking about this when we talk about spoilers, because it directly ties into a lot of what the new card is, too. Yeah. So,
Trastani has actually gone up a moto. It went up to 425. So that's the movement right now. So it's moving up, and Abaddon the Worm's moving up. So I do like Abaddon the Worm. I don't, a $5 card seems about right, especially because the Dragon's Maze is rare, and it probably would hit there.
Remember we said to pick up Trastani a long time ago? If you were holding them, like, I think the time to sell out might be coming up. And if you didn't get them, you can still get in under $4 right now in paper.
I like it a lot. I think it's probably, it's a mythic. I mean, if it becomes a thing, it's going to be like $10. So.
Yeah, that seems fine. 10 seems reasonable. So buying in at 4-ish and selling out at 10, you can make a couple bucks if all you're doing is selling to a buy list. So that seems good.
Alright.
Cool. It's a good general too, like, one of those things we like to kind of hedge a little bit, or just, our favorite picks of the week are ones that if it doesn't hit in standard or whatever we're calling, if there's some other format that it could get adoption, you're not gonna totally whiff. So, this is one of those cards, I think.
I'll jump in next. Mine's a little longer term. I think it's, one of those that, I don't think it's like really gonna see a buyout per se. I think it's just gonna kind of steadily rise and become a thing come modern season, and it's Aether Vial. I know there's a lot of printings of it now, but it's already starting to creep up.
A lot of printings?
There's From the Vaults, Modern Masters.
It's gonna jump to, cause it just went up.
It's not really moved at all from what I'm looking at. It's still like, $13-$14 on TCG Player.
Wow, places after Modern like Masters?
I've seen a lot of places like their buy list jumping up that much. Yeah, like, it was down to like 10, Corbin. It's already up there. Like, retail's closing in on 20 now.
Well,
you think it's going to go higher than that?
Yeah, well, it's moved, in the past 6 months, it's moved from $12 to $14 on TCG Player. It's not like it's spiking.
So should this be your pick of the week 6 months ago?
I mean, sure, but I think there's still upside because I'm looking at a $14 mid price that I think is going to be a $20 mid price come modern season, if not higher.
I'm looking at about a 30% spread on this.
Yeah, like, I just don't know that that's enough for me. Like, to want to buy into a card that's $15 a copy and hold on to, I want to be turning those into at least 25.
Well, that's what I would not, how about this then? It's my pick of the week if you think you may want to play with them because they're not going to be cheaper. Like, I think 25 is probably not a, like, in my mind, I would expect something like 20, but the way the market works these days, it's probably going to be 30 if it catches on, you know, like, but I just see all these, the Merfolk cards are spiking up. I've seen other people want, like, other decks that have been utilizing Vial popping up in Modern. I mean, I don't think it's going to be cheaper than $14 at any point for a long time.
It is a 4-of, too.
Yeah, like the decks, I mean, 5's probably not unreasonable. With that many printings, like, I don't know, but, like, I think it's probably a sure bet to go from 14 to 20 and be in very high demand come Modern season, so... like I said, 25 is probably not out of the question, but it's not going to be cheaper than right now, so that's why I'm making it my pick.
So, okay, yeah. Pick up to play with then. That's not really a category we had before, I don't think.
Well, I mean, you're making money too. Like, if $14 to $20, you get in now, you sell it come modern season, you're going to make money.
New category, pick up to play. I don't mind it. I don't mind that at all.
That kind of stuff in my articles all the time, so it's really like, I don't mind that either. I mean, I also think that, that's probably gonna fall in line with mine, but I wanna go last cause it also ties into the fakes and stuff.
Okay. So my pick of the week is gonna be, Prophet of Krufix. And this is on Moto. I don't think this is definitely not, a paper call. It could be. It's $2 in paper, whereas in Moto it was like 10 cents and it was 30 cents earlier. It's 30 cents now, so it went up from 10 cents, but, I think this works good with the new ability, the tributes. I think there's going to be ways to tap creatures and untap creatures, and I think that this can work with that.
You're talking about Inspired, right?
Whatever. Yeah, Inspired. Yeah, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Untapped. Yeah.
Yeah, Inspired. My bad. Then a pick for paper would be Geist of St. Traft.
Okay.
This is $15 in paper. And Moto.
That spiked on Moto, didn't it?
Yeah, spiked on Moto to 25, so it was about 15. It went up $10 on Moto. And a lot of Moto cars actually. Liliana's now, 73. Karn's now reaching 50. Mox Opal's 50.
Yeah, I got lucky too. Like, I was done playing standard and block for a while. So like all of the tickets I was spending, cause I've just been like putting a little bit in each month and like buying some staples so I can actually like have a Moto account again. And I started buying things like Snapcaster and stuff like that when they were like $3. And those are already up to 6 or 7. So yeah, like absolutely the modern time to get into those modern cards is like absolutely now if you haven't already.
Yeah, they're like absolutely, cause they're just going to hit higher. Like you actually probably are too late. Like we had the bottom on there. I thought we had a little bit longer before they started to spike. So I didn't buy as many. I got my play sets. So I'm cool. And a lot of my cards, I'm going to sell them in the middle of modern season. Everything's going to get sold. So I'm just waiting for that. I'm going to play with them until the middle of modern season and get rid of everything and then wait for the drop again. But yeah, you had your opportunity, but if you want to get in now, you better get in right now because they're just going to get higher. $25 and we're not even in modern season yet. Yeah, you can see guys being like $50 on Moto, but on paper it's $15. So I could see it at least becoming a $30 card, especially in modern season. So I would say get your modern staples now.
Okay. So do you want to talk about, Inspired at all? Do we want to,
Hey, can I tell a story real quick actually about Prophet of Crufix?
All right, let's hear it.
So Marcel sent us all a text message. As soon as they, spoiled like the first Inspired guy, Marcel saw that and went, oh fuck, Prophet. So he sent us a text message like, guys, buy Prophet. I went on it and I, you know, got up TCG player, jammed a bunch in my cart. And I was like going through the checkout process and I was like, wait, how the fuck are you going to tap guys? Click empty cart. I was like, sorry, Marcel, man. I was with you till I thought about it for a second. And I was like, I know that there is a Springleaf drum and they've printed like one more tap card called Epiphany Storm that we're not going to really talk about because it's a common, but it's basically the creature gets the ability to tap and loot for a red mana. So, I think Prophet of Crufix is going to spike hard if we see a really compelling way to tap a guy. Like maybe an equipment that lets it shock for 2 damage or maybe an aura or something like that. Maybe even a bestowed creature that gives a creature a tap ability. You know, I'm just speculating at this point, but if we see a good tap outlet, that's going to make some of the cards good. And I think, you know, having Prophet of Crufix untap it so you can do it every turn is quite good.
So this is my take on it. I think that, I mean, Prophet's one of those cards I really like post-rotation because it's just powerful, okay, if nothing else. I think people are putting a lot of work into, well, I'm going to play Springleaf Drum and I'm going to tap my dude and then I'm going to find a way to untap and I'm going to get this Inspire trigger and I'm going to like do one thing. I'm going to draw a card, you know, like the Dark Confident guy. I'm going to draw a card. And then
call
him,
he's a Blood Scrivener.
Yeah, sure. But like you're just getting, the point is, like, you're gonna do all this stuff, and then you're gonna die because somebody played Grey Merchant and drained you for 10. Or, like, somebody's just gonna attack you and you're gonna die. Like, I think people they're trying to build entire decks around Inspired. And, I mean, obviously it's early, but, like, it's unlikely that in one set you're getting enough cards, that you can build an entire deck around this mechanic, and it'd be better, or at least on par with what's already out there. I think what you need to be looking at is Inspired creatures that fit into established decks already or decks that were maybe on the cusp and then figure out if there's ways to go from there. So like with the Painseer, whether like instead of looking at ways I can draw a card, I just want to look at ways I can like passively, you know, get the trigger out of it. So like the red black aggro deck that's like just a mess of like commons and uncommons and madcap skills or whatever, like that's a deck that could play this because it's, you know what? It's 2 power. It attacks. That's fine, you know. And on your turn, like when you attack with it, either they kill it in combat, which means your other dudes with more power are getting through, or you're going to get your turn back and you're going to untap with it and get that trigger. Like it fits into a deck where it already works. You're not having to make the deck around it. And I think that's the best way to evaluate these cards.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think that is probably the smarter way to look at picks people are going to make. The speculations is the stuff that's going to fit into existing decks. But I do think the meta is going to shift up a bit and there's going to be room for other decks to come in. So I think you can find little outliers. And I mean, at the same time, just the good thing about Prophet is he is from Dragon's Maid. So it's a small set that was barely opened And we're not going to see the Simic God until the next set. So who knows, you know, he may hit his lowest, buying in at his cheapest in the next, you know, this during the set. If he doesn't do anything, maybe the good pick to get, and then he might pop up in the next one. So you can think long term. Oh, he's from Theros. I said he was from something else.
You said Dragon's Maze.
Oh, from Dragon's Maze? Oh, I'll just completely erase all that out.
Don't do it, you scumbag. Stand by your...
I thought it was Dragon's Maze, I swear to God.
I'd like it way more if it was Dragon. Well, I think it's just one of those cards that's gonna spike on rotation. Like, my short list of, like, cards to target for rotation, obviously it's super early, is, like, Prognostic Sphinx, Reaper of the Wilds, and Prophet.
Prophet's so... Oh. I have three Rug EDH decks, and all three of them run Prophet.
Yeah, I mean, he's insane. Like, it's the kind of thing, like, if the format you know, slows down a little bit at rotation or whatever, there's just kind of less stuff in the card pool. It's just such a powerful effect. And if you think about it, there's ways for green X to play so many. It's basically you can build a flash deck right now. Like, you have Boonsader, you have Advent of the Worm, you have the other thing that makes tokens, you have Prophet to give all your other guys flash, like Skylasher if you want to go deep. But like, you can basically just make this like blue-green deck that plays on your opponent's turn, blue-green-white deck.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And Prophet would obviously fit right into that sort of deck.
Yeah, it just needs some more tools.
Yeah.
So Ryan, what's your picks of the week?
So my picks of the week, as Jason did a while ago with the commander decks, I have 55 of them. I think you should be waiting right now for the people to be fire sailing all of these cards that they have confirmed that there have been fakes of. And watch the market, because I think that the real world market, you're going to see things like TCG player and stuff drop on them a lot as people are just trying to get rid of their copies and they just want to give them at any cost, thinking, oh, I might have fakes, or I don't, you know, want to have the market crash on these cards and me be stuck with them and nobody want them because they might be fake. Really, the market's gone through this before. It's not the first time. I mean, it's happened with Power multiple times. There are copies of Power still out there that are fake. You just have to be a little more cautious. Like, it's not anything that's going to completely wreck the game. It's, you have to expect it when you get into any kind of commodities trading, like high-end market. Cards that become worth money are worth faking. We've talked about it before. And anyone out there who has not already fire sailed the cards, please do not do so. The market will readjust. It's not going to be a big deal. And all you're going to do is increase the overall price of these cards, because by selling a bunch of them to vendors, they're going to get them at, you know, lower their buy list cost more and more. And then suddenly people are going to realize, oh, I still have to play Legacy. I guess I'm going to have to buy my cards. And they're going to want to go to a reputable dealer, fearing fakes, meaning the retail gets to reset the price on whatever the new of the cards become. And that's like, I wouldn't be surprised to see some of the dual lands spiking over the next 6 months to a year quite heavily, just because the market readjusting itself, and it won't stay at the same price it is now. It's going to go above.
Ryan, you have like a good opinion on this because you deal with a lot of Power and a lot of high end cards and know about fakes. What do you say? Like, yes, there have been fakes in the past. Those fakes have been easier to tell if they were fake. And these, you know, the big scare, I think, of this is that they're at this point nearly undetectable. And the things that are detectable are easily fixed on their end. So, I mean, they could be putting out Tarmogoyfs that are pretty much indistinguishable. And I think that's what's scaring people. So, like, how do you view that?
I mean, I don't think the people you need to be worried about are these people. I think it's, you know, the people who are going to learn from these people. And that's been something that, I mean, the reason fakes are getting better is because people have been faking cards for years. It's not the first time. These people didn't just suddenly go, oh, we have the process down. No, they watched plenty of other people get caught and have finally learned how to get very close. However, if you look at something like Dark Beta is much harder to distinguish than these new cards are. I've been looking over the pictures and everything and looking at them, and I can tell easier that those are fakes without having to examine the card directly than I can a Dark Beta piece.
Okay, well,
and that takes a lot of it away from me. Like, I just don't feel like they're going to stay in the market long enough, because things like Dark Beta, they don't come out of people's collections. These kind of cards are going to be moving all the time, and the moment they hit someone's hands who they realize are fakes, they're going to send them back, get their money for them, or destroy the card per Wizard's, you know, request. Like, it's not...
It's going to go away. Explain to people though who don't know what Dark Beta is.
Dark Beta was a set printed a number of years ago of fake cards, mostly from Beta and Alpha series, obviously. And they are nearly indistinguishable. They will pass the Ben test. They have a blue line. There is really, other than some font differences and a couple of miscolorations on the cards, They're nearly indistinguishable. So, I mean, similar to this, where people are worried about, oh my god, it has a blue line, you know, it does, these cards are passing the Venn test, you know, how do you deal with this? And it's the same deal. It's not anything that vendors haven't experienced before. It's not anything that's going to deter them from buying cards. People are still going to be dealing in Magic cards and the game will continue.
Do you think that it is possible for these people? I mean, like I said, the things that make these cards distinguishable right now are pretty small in that they're these font things. And once you know what you're looking for, it's easy to find. Sure. But what about the next wave that these people do? Do you think that like it's still going to be distinguishable, or is that a legitimate concern that people just won't be able to tell?
I think that you're going to get to a point where people won't necessarily be able to tell, but there's fakes out there that move right now, and to be able to get yourself down to that close of a process and to get everything perfect, and then on top of that, not get caught in the time that it takes you to eventually get an established base. Like, had this guy had enough time to set up? Like, I don't think we're really worried about enough of these getting out to make a major impact on the market. Though I think people will still be fire sailing their cards anyway, which is why I say don't worry about it as much. But you are going to get to a point where it's going to take them a little while to find a person. There will be a number of them that get released in the market. It's not ever enough copies, though, to really influence the overall price. Like, you're thinking that, you know, millions of these cards are making it out, and it's not. I mean, especially if it's one person doing a print press, and you're not doing, you know, an entire set, you're doing one card from that set. Like, yeah, it may hurt that particular card if they find it, but it's going to be noticed, and it's going to be caught. Like, and especially with them changing over the new card layout and stuff, like, it's not something you have to worry about with new cards. And the older cards, it's a lot harder to fake just because of the minor differences in cards themselves. Like, back then, they didn't have exact perfection in the cards. Like, if you look at some of Beta's font, it does not look similar to other Beta cards' font. So there's, like, minor things like that that they would have to examine perfectly. And it's going to take a lot more time than people are thinking to get that exactly down. I mean, people have been working on it for 20 years now. Well, I imagine probably 15 years now. Since Power became worth any real money, I'm sure there's been people trying to fake them. So may be a concern in the future, but I think it will be relatively limited to the legacy crowd at that point, because standard by that point will have, you know, implemented the new cards, and those will be much harder to fake, and it'll take another 15 years to catch on to that. And it's no different than when you think about money. I mean, people are worried about, you know, old hundreds still that come from other countries and stuff. Like, it's the same concern. You just have to be careful who you're dealing with and make sure that it's reputable in the future on certain cards, but we've always had to worry about that. It's not that the market hasn't experienced.
I'll say this. I agree with you on almost all of these points. What concerns me is, yes, news of this came out this week. I don't think this has been a secret to Wizards. I don't think Wizards learned about this week. Like,
they probably are taking actions against it.
Have the brand new card layout with the foil thing is 100% for counterfeiting.
Yeah, like, it specifically addressed the counterfeiting in this article. The next day it comes that, you know, there's all these counterfeits. Like, this is something I think Wizards has probably known about for a while, and that's what led them to take these steps, all of which I think are, you know, good steps for them to take. So, you know, I think people are freaking out about it right now. Like, this is something that it feels like to me the signals say that Wizards probably known about for a while. They have things they can do. You know, even if, you know, China has some nebulous enforcement of laws, you know, even if you necessarily can't stop the printer, you can certainly limit them from entering the market, because, I mean, Wizards, like, it's in nobody's best interest for all these counterfeits to come out. You know, all the retailers and suppliers and distributors and Wizards all, you know, are networked. And I think that an effort on their part to keep these from entering the market before they ever even get to players' hands is what's going on. I think, concerning is that the printer was taking direct orders from Magic players, and that is surprisingly, you know, a disturbing amount of Magic players were saying, hey, this is great. Now I can get my cheap Tarmogoyf and I can play Legacy, without realizing how much damage they're doing if everyone starts buying these counterfeit cards.
I don't think they'd care. I think there's a lot of people that just don't give a shit about how it affects other people because they can have cheap Tarmogoyfs.
If
you look at any discussion forum where this was brought up, people, like, they'll pretend, oh, you know, I don't think counterfeiting's good necessarily, but, you know, this had to happen because the game's so expensive, and the speculating community gets a lot of the blame for that, you know, incorrectly. A lot of people came out in favor of this, and it was a little appalling, frankly.
I'm with you. Like, they don't, people need to understand, like, if we're working on the thesis here that, that people are selfish, then they need to understand that they won't get to play in a Magic tournament if they support this. Like, Magic can have a long-term viable commercial product if counterfeiting runs rampant. I mean, several people have written articles about it, spell out exactly what happens. Like, prices tank, dealers start losing money, they start buying less product from Wizards, Wizards cuts things because they're not making as much money. All these counterfeits getting on the market, Wizards' intellectual property isn't being protected. It just creates a downward spiral for the game.
What if every card were 10 cents? Let's look at that scenario. What if every card were 10 cents no matter what?
Doesn't exist? Then the TCG player series doesn't exist?
Right, and also, who's going to get you singles? So say you need 4 copies or whatever, you're gonna have to bust booster packs, cause if you tell me, you know, hey Jason, I want 4 of this obscure card and I'll give you 40 cents for it, and I'll put it in an envelope. Like, no one's going to bother. So, no stores are gonna sell the singles because there's just, like, there's no point, and it's gonna be much harder to get the cards. You know, they'll be cheap, but they won't move as freely because there's nobody being incentivized to convey the cards.
And then you have no legacy tournaments to play your fancy Tarmogoyfs in because Star City can't afford to run their open series anymore. You know, this is not some like dark, you know, post-apocalyptic future that we're making up. This is what happens if counterfeits, start entering the market en masse. Like, and it has to be stopped at every level. Wizards, and I, you know, they're gonna do what they can do to stop it, but every single player who goes and posts and says, I think this is okay, because I want cheap Tarmogoyfs, is hurting the game that they confess to wanting to play.
Yeah, but what if they're just playing kitchen table Magic?
Then proxy cards anyways,
no one gives a shit. And people are like, oh, well, you know, we won't have those Star City Legacy tournaments, but I can still play at my LGS. What LGS is not running, you know, proxy legacy tournaments now,
singles.
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly. So. Yeah.
And who's gonna buy a booster pack for $4 if the cards you're gonna pull are worth 40 cents, you know?
Like, yeah, the price of boosters goes down, there's less incentive for Wizards, and they're not gonna be able to pay people to make as good it's bad for the game, just in general.
I hate that we have to have this conversation, and that this isn't common sense to people.
Well, but you know that Wizards made I think Wizards put that little foil dot on the card to calm people the fuck down. I don't think it's to curb counterfeiting that's been going on for 15 years. I think it's to calm people down. So they're like, they're addressing it. So we can just chill. Yeah. I really don't think it is as much for that as it is for to reassure people that they're on top of it. So I'm glad they did it.
And I think it can absolutely help in the digital in the future too. I mean, every other card game has had some capacity to be able to hook up to the digital, whether it be Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Pokemon as the major two. And Magic hasn't gotten there yet. And I mean, that's certainly a way to do it and make people feel more comfortable about it. Cause all you have to do is make that switch now. And if 5 years down the road, you want to have some way to interlay Magic online with real cards, it's much easier because people are already comfortable with that. So like, you're really just killing two birds with one stone by switching the card layout.
So one place I did see a lot of people talking about how they were in favor of the counterfeit cards was in the non-finance section of Reddit. Now in the finance section of Reddit, there's a different issue that I think we should address. And that is, the effect that 4,000 brand new speculators are having on the market. We are seeing cards spike more severely and more quickly than we're ever used to. I think a year ago, we would not have seen Norrin the Wary go up. We would not have seen Fist of Suns go up with no justification. People didn't even wait for Friday night, okay? So Paul Feudo wrote an article on Brainstorm Brewery that went up Friday morning saying, hey, Jan van der Vaart is on this deck that runs Fist of Suns. It's already in the Tin Fins deck. So, you know, he just jammed that in the Tin Fins deck, changed the mana base a little bit to make it have access to 5 colors, and he 8-1'd day one. The fact that he 8-1'd, people went, all right, we're going to buy out all the $2 Fist of Suns, and now they're 10. They didn't wait. Jan van der Vaart did not date. He day 2, but he didn't top 32. Like, he might have got money. I'm not really sure where he ended up. Like, he said he'd never play the deck again. He said on Twitter, like, I definitely won some games because my opponents didn't know what I was doing and they made play mistakes. I wouldn't advocate playing this deck again. So we got a guy that did well the one time this deck is going to do well, and it's a $10 card now. And the prices are going to stay sticky because nobody that bought this at 7 thinking they could sell it for 12 is going to want to, you know, lower the price now to where they bought it at. So they're going to stay around 10 for a while, but ultimately I don't think Fist of the Suns is going to maintain. it might stay at $4, you know, and people that paid $7 are gonna lose $3 because they didn't wait to see if the card was actually a real thing. We've seen Norn the Wary spike, like, a lot of cards, and good cards are spiking way more severely. Is Cabal Therapy really a $20 card? I don't think so. I think what we're having is we're having a lot more speculators get into the game, and they're not waiting the way you used to be able. You used to be able to read deck, you know, weekend deck tournament reports on Monday and say, hey, I think I'll buy that. You used to be able to wait for analysis. Now, if you're not buying Friday night or Saturday morning, it's already too late.
But did we see that with this Pro Tour and Master of the Waves?
I mean, honestly, no. Like, you could buy Master of Waves all day on that first day.
I mean, pretty much anyone that did buy all day that first day got their orders canceled.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a different thing, but.
I mean, you'll cancel orders on Master of Waves because it's doing well at the Pro Tour. Are you going to cancel some monkey's order of all your Fists of the Suns, or you're going to say, all right, take them?
Yeah, you're going to give them to them. But, you know, at least that was doing well at GP. What gets me is the Norn and then the,
Oh, Norn 4-0 to daily. We gotta buy all the goddamn Norns on the internet. Yeah, and that was...
Is it Summoning Egg? Is that the thing that...
Summoner's Egg, yeah. Travis Wu
streamed this deck one night and that card gets bought out. And then he even comes back the next day, stops playing the deck and is like, I don't know what you guys were doing buying that card. Like, why are we doing this? We've both written about it. You talk about the pen of sheep. I called it people chasing their own tail. It's just all these people they don't want to be left behind. They want to make the next big thing happen and they're just forcing it. And that's not how it works. Like you're going to lose money and people will learn this the hard way because they're not listening to what we're telling them. And they think that, you know, everyone comes in and thinks they're an expert. You know, there's no teacher like experience. So people will learn, but don't be one of those people who gives yourself an expensive lesson.
So let me ask you this question though. I think, you know, if you're dealing with a lot of people that are buying the way they are and they're relatively new in the finance game, are these people really even finance players making these type of moves? Because, I mean, someone that would be experienced probably would avoid this based on experience doing such. And are these people buying these cards or mostly just buying a playset for themselves and they're considering it a finance move to make their collection cheaper?
That's what I think. I think a lot of it, people have this image of people want to blame the speculators and, you know, the image of this evil speculator sitting in their basement with, you know, 1,000 copies of Fists of Suns or...
I'm making the game harder to play for everybody because I'm so greedy.
It's not how it works. You don't have this small group of evil people doing that. What you have is a bunch of people coming from Reddit who are buying a playset for themselves. And when there's 300 copies of a card on the market and 1/10 of that subreddit goes and buys a playset for themselves, everything's gone. Well, then there's this run, but it doesn't even take that. It takes like a much lower percentage because as soon as people start to see movement, then somebody says, hey, this card's spiking, and then it just sells out everywhere.
And no one pebble thinks that he is responsible for the avalanche.
Right. So, I mean, what gets me is that these cards, and maybe it's just because we've been doing this for a while, but it's so obvious what's real and what isn't. Like, Splinter Twin, Birthing Pod, Spellskite, like, yes, they
Stone
were-
Stoneforge Mystic, Cabal
like,
Therapy.
Quote, unquote, buyouts on these cards, but they're buyouts because there's real demand. Like, yes, Stoneforge is this heavily played card in Legacy. Splinter Twin is a real deck. Birthing Pod is a big deck, and the cards are getting bought out, but the price is sticking because people will actually support that new price. But when one person plays Fist of Suns, nobody's buying that card when it hits $10. It's not hard to distinguish what's real and what isn't. If you just take a step back and don't get caught up in the, oh my gosh, I have to make money.
Right. If there's no greater fool buying that card from you at $10, the greatest fool is you. Unfortunately. Like, that's just how it is.
That's lovely. That's as good as you can get. You can't say anything else. That's it. It's done. We said it. Mike has been dropped. Let's move on to spoilers.
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 Let's talk about Merfolk.
Merfolk. All right. Let's talk about Merfolk.
Talk about
Merfolk.
Really? We're going to talk about uncommons?
Actually, Merfolk is pretty cool. I like it.
Follower.
Why don't we let Corbin tell blue, do anything? Why is he allowed?
Blue, green, 2/2, Merfolk. Tap. Untap another target permanent. Now,
you know what? This isn't even the best 2-2 for a blue and a green merfolk.
Guy is Skyfolk. But you know
this
what this
is the
one
second
does?
Best one blue, one and green.
You know what this one does, Jason?
What?
You have Kiora's follower and another Kiora's follower and a Judge of Currents. You can gain infinite life. Judge of Currents is like a 2 mana.
Stop it. Like, everyone's been talking about these terrible 3-card combos all day for Modern. I don't want to hear about it. Stop it. No, seriously. If you're going to play some sort of combo and it's going to be inspiration based, it's going to be on Freed from the Real, so it's only a 2-card combo.
We cut Corbin's mic.
Yeah, please.
Hold on. This is Mr. Combo himself is saying stop it.
Yeah, I'm telling you it's bad. I love terrible combos and it's terrible. It's worse than anything I've come up with.
It's the only merfolk I have right now.
Don't even think about it as a merfolk. Think about it as a voyaging satyr that got upgraded, but still not a Sylvan Caryatid. That's the thing. Like, what deck are you playing it in that is Sylvan Caryatid isn't better?
I'm playing in my casual merfolk deck with Judge of Currents.
Oh, great. Okay, can we talk about real magic?
Yes.
Okay,
moving
thank
on.
You.
Talk about a rare or something.
Ooh, Kiora? New cards.
We've talked about Kiora, haven't we?
Yeah, don't pay $30 for Kiora.
Yeah.
No, but Kiora's follower is badass.
This follower.
Now, what do you think about the Fanatic of Zaganos? I really like this card. I think
that card's nuts.
For an uncommon, I mean, sure, it's not financially anything, so I don't know if we want to.
This is going to be good and limited. So, Fanatic of Zaganos is. I will if you'll let me.
You said limited. It's going to get constructed. Go on.
Okay. I think it's a bad whatever. Fanatic of Zaganos, 1 colorless, 1 red, 1 green, 3/3 trample. Now it has the ability Tribute. Tribute says, as this creature enters the battlefield, an opponent of your choice may put a 1-1 counter on it. And that is considered paying its tribute. So this has a tribute of 1, so they'll put 1-1-1 counter on it. If they don't pay the tribute, it gets 1-1 in haste. If they do pay the tribute, it becomes a 4-4. So this is sometimes as the same power and toughness and mana cost as a Loxodon Smiter, and sometimes it's a 4-4 haste for 3 that becomes a 3-3 afterward. So you really like this in Constructed?
Yeah.
Okay. Glad I'm not alone. Dude, that's a lot of damage, Jason. Like, you put it, you're playing like Gorklan Rampager in those colors, like.
I would like it in a standard that had Birds of Paradise for a 3-color Naya deck, but I don't like it for a red-green deck that's relying on Llanowar Elves.
What 1-1 Elf do we? Yeah, Llanowar Elf.
That's fair enough to say, but
I don't see red-green having enough steam to get there when there are gonna be so many 3-color options. Like, your control decks are already built to beat that strategy, and there's already better decks that do different parts of that strategy, like Rakdos is faster. I think red-green's always going to be a thing, but I think you're still like want to be red-green monstrous if that's the way you're going.
Don't want to give my opponent options, because you're like, oh, haste is good if they're playing Wraths, but if they're playing Wraths, I'll be like, have a 4-4. Cool.
Well, I mean, yeah, I understand all, like, but like, you play Loxodon Smiter, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you do, and this has, I mean, this is different than Smiter in that it has Trample. And Trample could be something very
Smiter, because it can't be countered.
Yeah, but I mean, how often does that really come into play?
Very often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very often. Like, it's not so relevant now, but it's extremely relevant if...
I like how we're fighting over a fucking card that'll be worth 75 cents no matter what. Oh my god, let's move on.
It's no Gorklan Rampager. It's no Boros Reckoner.
Good call.
So Painseer. Painseer is a piece of crap, right?
It's a Bob with an extra toughness, guys. I can't believe they made Bob a 2-2 with broken. Sell all your Dark Confidants! Sell them!
Painseer is good, if you play a deck that doesn't mind playing it, like we were talking about Red Black Aggro earlier. If you're trying to build around Painseer, it's not gonna work.
Yeah, I just don't see it.
I mean, people are like, yeah, you play Springleaf Drum. I'm like, Springleaf Drum would be good for ramping. Do you really want to play in a ramp deck? It's like, there's my Reaper of the Wilds.
Speaking of selling, make sure you sell your Damnations too, because we're getting a black board wipe.
Yeah.
But then they
it's called Drown in Sorrow.
Yeah, they spoiled the black board wipe, and it's Infest that lets you scry 1.
Which is fine. It is strictly better than Infest, which I believe is what we were promised.
The art is beautiful. Wow, that's slick. I like that one.
Look at it.
Noah Bradley he's the man.
That is cool art. Yeah. Anybody have anything else that they want to talk about? Do we want to talk about the gods?
What about this Champion of Stray Souls? And I don't know what to think out of it. I don't think it's going to be that good. It's a bulk comp mythic, right?
It's gonna make Core Spirit Walker or whatever the Worldlight card go up more. Like, it's, there's some cute combo deck there in Modern, or not necessarily combo deck, but just like, aura, aggro, garbage. People already tried to make it a thing before, like, this just-
Oh no, no, he's talking about Champion of Stray Souls, dude.
Oh, wait a minute, am I thinking the wrong one? What's the, this isn't the
you're
other
thinking,
one Champion?
You're thinking Hero of Iroas? That, oh, like, yeah. I think, I you know, it could be good in Hexproof. It makes your auras one cheaper, and when you, cast a spell that targets, you put a 1/1 counter on it. Now, we already had a card like that in the last set. Was the, what, the 2/2 double strike for 3 that you put a 1/1 counter when you put an aura on it?
Fabled Hero.
Fabled Hero, bulk rare. I don't know what is going to happen to make Hero of Iroas not a bulk rare.
Yeah, it seems what
I mean, if it's gonna not be a bulk rare, like I said, it's gonna be a Modern thing, I think.
I mean, I could see that, like, definitely making the auras cheaper
is that really? Everything costs like 2 and 3 and you go, like, 1-drop hexproof, dude, 2-drop aura, 3-drop aura, like, why are you gonna take a turn off from playing an aura?
I didn't say you should. I'm not saying it's gonna be good. I'm just saying watch that other card to go up. Because just out of speculation. Like, I'm not saying I support the deck at all. Like, I think it's all gonna suck.
Alright.
But
let's go back to myself.
All we have right now is hype. We're just bartering in hype right now, and I think this could make give us some hype. Marcel wanted to talk about Champion of Stray Souls, which looks like a bulk mythic.
I think we had better talk about the hero, because yeah, this is a bulk mythic. I just saw it for the first time.
The only way this sees play is if we revert back to like 1997, where control is about like grinding your opponent out by just being able to always cast a spell every turn. So
where like you had to find your one of millstone to get them, and like you played Felden's Cane, and then they lost to milling.
Yeah,
man, everything we've seen, like I'm just seeing a bunch of big. Dumb creatures. A bunch of 6 and 7 drops so far.
Yeah.
Here's one that isn't. Flame Wreath Phoenix. It's a mythic. It's 2 colorless and 2 red, 4 total. Flying Tribute 2. When it enters the battlefield, if its tribute wasn't paid, it gains haste, and when this creature dies, return it to its owner's hand. So they can either give you a 5/5 flyer for 4, or you get a 3/3 haste flyer for 4 that will go back to your hand when it dies.
So most times you're going to get a 5/5 flyer, and they're going to look at you.
Doombladed or something, right? Like,
yeah, or look at, hey, I got a Desecration Demon here. Come run right into me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that card I want it to be a better Chandra's Phoenix, but even like Chandra's Phoenix, like what deck can get to 4 consistently? Like Mono Red sometimes has a tough time getting to 3. So, like, you're just, I don't know.
There was that Archwing Dragon or whatever from Avzan Restored that was kind of similar.
And that card was actually just better than this card, I think. And that card wasn't good to begin with, so.
I mean,
I liked Archwing Dragon as a finisher, but, it wasn't great.
I think this has potential post-rotation. I think it's still 5/5 flyer is powerful because that's mostly what it's gonna be. And who knows, maybe post-rotation it might have a place there. So.
I said in a world where Mizzium Mortars is the only way to deal with creatures, this card is amazing.
So, yep. That's that would
damned
be
if you do, damned if you don't, if all they've got is Mizzium Mortars.
Yeah.
This is pre-selling for $12.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I looked it up on eBay.
I'm sure that's
$50 playset.
Real.
Yeah, no thanks.
Dragon Fighter, go buy it right now. So let's talk about these guys. These guys are the cool part of
Ahead and describe how they work, because I know there's been a lot of confusion with people.
So these are 2 colored guys. This is all across the board. So we're going to get the allied colors. So we're not going to have any of the cool enemy colored guys. Those will be in the next set. So basically, I'll be the first guy, and we'll go down the line like there. So we got Deferia, God of the Polis, which is 2 colorless and a white and a blue. It's indestructible as the other gods are, legendary enchantment god, 6/5. So as long as your devotion to white and blue is less than 7, Ephyria isn't a creature. So the confusion with this is the same thing as the other gods, so everyone should be familiar with that. But the confusion is mostly with hybrids. So this works, it's counting both combinations of your colors. So anytime you got 7, on the board, this already comes into play with 2 colored mono symbols, so you only need 5 more. If you were to play a hybrid, say a hybrid blue-white creature, it would only count each hybrid mono once. So if you had...
It would count either side. Like, say you had a Boros Reckoner and there was a red-white god, it would only count for 3 despite you could argue it counts for 6. It'll count either side.
Yeah, so pretty much that's the only thing that I think people can get confused on. Otherwise, it's going to work as any other devotion.
I actually have a question about this, though.
Yeah.
With Ephara, God of the Polis in specific, it's at the beginning of each upkeep. If you had another creature enter the battlefield under your control last turn, draw a card. So if you when does this check if it's a creature?
It wouldn't check itself as a creature because it says another creature, so you would never have to worry about that for herself.
Oh, you're right.
So you're saying, like, can you play it and then draw on your opponent's upkeep? No.
That's what I was trying to figure out, if it was, like, if it was a creature when you played it, but
If you were playing another god, so you're playing Heliod in this deck, and this creature was, this was out already, Heliod, if your devotion to five is there, then Heliod comes into play as a creature. Otherwise, he comes into play as an enchantment. So, yeah, if Heliod, if your devotion was, with Heliod coming in was, four, and then you played something else after that to make him five, you would not get the draw card next turn through Aetheria.
Okay, yep. Well, do you guys, while we're on Aetheria, I mean, it's a, 6/5 indestructible.
There's no deck for this.
It's kind of what I thought too, like, I don't know, like, maybe if mono blue can splash white
for
this card.
Sphinx's Revelation?
No, this card and Lyra of Sky Knight would be the two.
I think a Heliod control deck, a blue-white to sit back. I'm sure Sphinx's Revelation, maybe that's post-rotation, but I mean, you got this with Detention Sphere. Detention Sphere gives you another two to add to the devotion, so, and Heliod pumps out creatures every turn so you could draw, two cards every turn.
Yeah.
Four is that we just see five color gods dot deck where they all just get to turn each other on. Like, that seems like a deck that's going to happen. Five color control hand back in Lorwyn. I'm ready for that again.
It'd be like
super duper friends.
I mean, it's going to be a thing, unfortunately. Someone's going to try it and someone's going to have at least a little success with it. And I'm excited about that.
It'll be fun. Yeah. Gods and planeswalkers.
Yeah, gods and planeswalkers, and wraths. So like, pretend we look at the mono, like the Boros decks that are doing well, just like, I'm just trying to figure out ways to make, Ephara playable or whatever. Like, turn one Soldier of Pantheon, turn two Precinct Captain, turn three Leia of Sky Knight, turn four this. Does that even turn it on? Three, four, five, six, seven. Yeah, that turns it on.
You want to be wrathing, like?
I was just trying to figure out if there's some shell it could fit into, cause like, it's a blue-white that needs, blue-white card that needs creatures, okay? So like.
Yeah, no, I said, look, there's no blue-white control, there's no blue-white aggro in standard, but if you look at block, Ryan, back me up, isn't there like a blue-white aggro deck in block? That's,
it's bad, but yeah, I mean, there's blue-white and there's white-red, and both of them are, like, they're like, hey, are you getting into block? You should buy this 20-ticket deck. That's what those are.
Okay. Oh, great. Okay, so it's not even like really a thing there. Like,
Let's move on.
I mean, like, people jam it in two mans a lot, but it's just like playing mono red in any format. Like, it's gonna win some matchups, but you just have some that feel so unwinnable. Like, the four color control decks that I play usually aren't gonna have any problem with those just cause you run enough removal and stuff, but they are decks.
So
they're
like,
tier two.
That blue white deck I was just like, planning out of my mind. We do have the blue white scry land, so it could be a possibility. What gets hurt, because there's only three scry lands in this set, I think we kind of assumed there'd be all five.
Oh, we did.
But what are we missing here?
We're missing the Simic and the Is It one.
And Rakdos.
It's going to be three. No, we have Rakdos. It's going to be three in this set and two in the next set, probably.
Simic and Is It,
Is It,
then we'll have, the other land will be Nyx or something like that.
We have Simic. Guys, it was a Temple of Mystery.
Oh, it's then it'll be whatever from Ravnica. So it'll be the other enemy colored.
Green black, right?
Yeah, green black. So
we haven't seen green black yet.
So green black
and people don't even care. They've just been screw it, I'll jam the Gilgate.
Well, I'm just glad we have green white, because I think that's the one that's gonna make the biggest difference in constructed.
Yeah, because we're gonna see Bant. Bant control is gonna make us come back. Yeah.
Now, can we spend 2 seconds on the temples? Great. These are pre-ordering for five. We've seen the ceiling is five. Buy accordingly.
Yeah,
you will lose between $0 and $3 if you buy these at five. Best case scenario, you lose $0.
Well, best case scenario, green white or red black dominates the first tournament.
And, I'm just basing this off the fact that white-black was ubiquitous. It was everywhere for weeks, and yeah. It was $5 while the others were $3.50.
You know, this blue-white one is probably actually really going to help Esper and American Control, although not having
what,
the...
It's going to help what?
American Control? Blue-white red? Am I not supposed to call it American? Is that the thing?
Oh, you sound like even more of a dumb hick when you call it American Control. That's like my biggest pet peeve.
That's what people do.
Yeah, people are wrong. People watch American Idol.
Is that your defense? That's what people do.
It is a
bandwagoner fallacy.
It is the lingo of the system in which I'm working. What am I supposed to call it, Jason?
You are just anything a cog in the fucking wheel. Oh,
I'm
going to
call
God.
It white blue from now on. I'm never going to say American Control.
No, no, do what you do, Corbin. It's all right.
No, let's talk about Mogus.
Mogus, I like this. I must say, have you seen the God of Rock, the altar? Oh, well, I gotta find that for you. It's way better than the art.
We'll put it up in the show notes for sure.
Yeah,
holding a guitar instead of a big old axe.
So Mogus, God of Slaughter, is a 7/5 for 4 instead of a 6/5 like a Pharah.
Whoa, he's gonna slaughter people.
I don't know why.
Turn clock.
It's so weird that, it feels like they just pick these numbers randomly sometimes. Anyways, you know, if your devotion to black and red is less than 7, it is not a creature. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, Mogus deals 2 damage to that player unless he or she sacrifices a creature. So like in a theoretical red-black deck that wants to do damage, like it's kind of competing with Exava in that spot. And I don't really think it's better, but what do you guys think?
It's a blood clock. Like, I thought this guy would be good in limited, and then I realized, I wouldn't play Blood Clock all the time in limited.
Like, I didn't really consider limited. I'm just thinking, like, Black Red, you know, is aggro, and you want damage, and Exava probably represents way more damage than
he's
a Mogus.
Two Curses of the Pierced Heart. He's a double Curse of the Pierced Heart. A 4-mana enchantment that deals 2 a turn.
But then he turns into a 7/5, which is indestructible, which is pretty sick in a red black deck.
Salter.
Yeah, I mean,
Salter Marcel, sweet.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Dalter is very sick. It's like perfect.
Yeah,
that's how you get a perfect altar right there. But I mean, I think he has potential. I think Exava is better in the deck, and I was thinking that earlier when we were on the Smooth Brothers, we were talking about this, and it's like you just want to play Exava in that 4-drop, or even Desecration Demon if you're gonna play a really aggro black red deck. This doesn't quite have a place yet. I just don't see it really doing much. But I mean, I think all the gods may just have to wait for rotation or something else, or I don't know. But
I don't even know then if you'd want it. Like, it's just an awkward kind of effect because...
Well, I think Star City has all these gods under 10. That's pretty telling. These are like marquee mythics, and the Star City's pre-selling them for like $8.
This is so weird though, just seeing that all the premier mythics, even from the other ones, like, I mean, really, what is the blue god? $15?
Corbin's like, yeah, they're going to give us all the good stuff later. No, I think this set's going to suck a bunch of dicks. They haven't given us anything good early.
There's nothing. Like, there's not a single card I'm excited about.
Right. Temple of Plenty. I'm excited about Temple of Plenty.
Well, yes, I'm excited for the lands, so.
I'm excited about the Planeswalker we got. That's like apparently I'm the only person, but only for Legacy, so.
Well. Yeah, and I'm still not going to pay 30. I'll wait for it to be $7 and I'll jam it in like maybe one of my EDH decks. Maybe not.
You know what's exciting for me? The fact that I sold all my standard cards the last few weeks, and I just pretty much am out of standard and went into Legacy and Modern, and I feel so good because I don't think it's going to change a whole lot. I mean, a whole lot of blue devotion, a whole lot of black devotion, and I think standards are stale. And this doesn't look like it's going to be a big enough shaker. Yeah. It's like, oh, I need to come back to standard and play some more because...
There is
one cycle that's kind of interesting. What do you guys think of the do stuff and scry, the faded retribution that's a 7-mana wrath. Ugh! But it gets planeswalkers too.
Yeah, that card's cool. I mean, for like probably EDH. I like the green one though.
It is an instant speed wrath. Like 7-mana is what you pay for an instant speed wrath.
I don't like the green one. I like Abin of the Worm over the green one by a long shot.
Well, this is the deck I was talking about earlier. Like you can just play, you have flash creatures on 2, 3, 4, and 5. In this deck. Like, blue, green, play some counter spells.
What, Boonsader on 3?
Yes, Boonsader on 3. Advent on 4, Faded Intervention on 5, Skylasher on 2, which Skylasher's apparently just good against, you know, half the field with mono blue. But like, you know, I'm just saying there's a lot, just keep an eye on this, and like this would be the kind of deck where Prophet would go.
Yeah.
You can do a lot on their turn. You can play counters and hold up mana, like, there's just a lot of possibilities there. That's the only thing that I'm excited about.
See, what I don't like about the holding up counters is this triple green, so you just kind of want to jam it in a green deck, just, yeah, you know.
Mm. The red one was, I think, the first one that it's a lava axe. It's a 4-mana lava axe. Yeah. And if you play it main phase, you can scry too, which is not something you really want to do. So
it's not
that's a, like the only one that like you obviously play the wrath main phase.
This is not a lava axe. You obviously didn't read the card correctly.
Oh, the creature planeswalker.
Yeah, it's completely.
No, you can hit a planeswalker with a lava axe.
But it's not a player. So player is lava axe is player or. Oh. Player only, player planeswalker, basically.
Oh, it's creature. I'm sorry, my Spanish is a little rusty. Like, I'm used to seeing the pick, cell phone pick of the one in Spanish.
So, I mean, anyways, maybe we pretty much summed up everything we got. Maybe we'll get some more,
Hold on, we sound like this every spoiler season. People complain about how down we sound. And we're not excited about any of the cards.
Cause we, sorry, like, the stuff like life won't be worth any money.
But yeah, this set so far has looked like a bag of dicks.
I don't think there's anything in here that's particularly constructed playable, like good constructed playable. You know, like I see cards that will get played in decks most likely, like Painseer will probably get played in something. Obviously, the lands.
Why? Why would Painseer get played in something? Like how much play did Bloodscrivener see?
Like the strictly better. Well, like I said, I think it's different because. It occasionally, it's a little easier to turn on than Bloodscrivener. You know, but like, I think the Infest will probably be pretty important.
Yeah, the Infest and you know what? The Merfolk. Sorrow's
ridiculous.
The Merfolk is actually pretty powerful. I mean, you can ramp and tap stuff later on.
Yeah, it combos with Nykthos.
It says permanent, guys.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
Like, these are powerful, but like, man, there's just nothing super exciting in the set, I guess is maybe a better way to put it. So far.
Well, you know,
the
uncommons are the most exciting cards for constructed, and that's not where you want to be.
Right.
Like, that's the problem right now, is there's no financial relevance. I mean, we just need to give it some more time. We have 32 cards. So let's come back to it at another point and not stress yourself out about it too much tonight.
My hope is that they hit us with good stuff later, and then we will look back at this and laugh.
Well, yeah. They said that they were going to, do that. Like, they've said that they didn't like in the past how, you know, the first week of spoilers is really exciting and then stuff kind of trickles out and it sucks. They wanted to spread it out a little more. So maybe they're saving some stuff.
Well, I'm hoping the Selesnya guy turns out to be super awesome. So all those Tristanis I bought turned out to be.
Right.
All right. So that's, it sounds like that's a cast, everybody. Tune in next week when we have more spoilers and probably a better attitude.
That really depends on Wizards, doesn't it?
In all actuality, it really does. Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.